In times of universal deceit, truth is the only rebellion left. On today's show, I talk about this weekend's news and the heartless, soulless, mindless, spineless evangelical church and those faith leaders that are endorsing Biden-Harris. I also respond to the question that millennials are asking, how can you possibly vote for Trump? And then we talk about the concept of whether or not America is a real country or just an idea. I'm Dr. Everett Piper, and this is The Rebellion. Welcome to today's edition of The Rebellion. As I said in the intro, I'm going to cover this weekend's news and highlight a couple stories that I found to be very interesting, frankly, quite alarming. I'll also respond to the question that woke millennials keep asking, how can you possibly vote for the orange man? Orange man bad. How can you possibly vote for Trump? You have to vote for Biden and Harris if you have any conscience and if you have any moral fiber and soul. I'll respond to that. I'll also deal with my article that came out this past weekend in the Washington Times, and I'll deal with the question, is America a real country, a real nation with real borders and real laws, or is America just an idea, a subjective construct? But before we get into the show, remember that the number for you to use to text in your questions is 918-756-3646, excuse me, 918-756-3646. Remember that you can listen to The Rebellion live every Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Central Time on KOKL Radio 106.3 1240 on your dial if you're in that broadcast range. And if you're not, you can still listen to it live at the same time, again, Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. Central Time at listentothebrew.com. You can listen to it online at listentothebrew.com, regardless of where you live. listentothebrew.com. You can access back issues of The Rebellion several different ways. You can go to my website, drevertpiper.com. That's drevertpiper.com. You can go to listentothebrew.com. They archive the back issues of The Rebellion. They're on their radio website. Or you can go to the Washington Times. They feature The Rebellion as one of their podcasts, and you can access The Rebellion there. And you can also access my weekly columns. Don't forget my books, Not a Daycare, The Devastating Consequences of Abandoning Truth, and Why I'm a Liberal and Other Conservative Ideas, which leads me, this is a perfect segue, to patreon.com/Dr. Everett Piper. patreon.com/Dr. Everett Piper, DREVERETTPIPER. Subscribe to The Rebellion by going to that particular site, patreon.com/Dr. Everett Piper. If you subscribe at given levels, you will receive a free autographed copy of Not a Daycare, The Devastating Consequences of Abandoning Truth, or Why I'm a Liberal and Other Conservative Ideas, or, excuse me, and you can also engage in monthly dialogue, bowl sessions, jam sessions, if you will, live Q&A on Zoom or Skype, where we will engage in sharpening each other by asking questions and responding and giving you a few extra arrows in your quiver as you take on the good fight and engage in the culture wars. So subscribe to The Rebellion. The more the merrier, obviously, and you can do that at patreon.com/Dr. Everett Piper. Back to the show for the day. News. I'm going to review some of the news, that I find to be not surprising, but incredibly alarming. August 25th is the first story that I'm going to highlight. Number one, on August 25th, hundreds, not just one, two, three, or four, hundreds of Black Lives Matter protesters, BLM protesters, marched through the streets of Charlotte, North Carolina. Well, that's not news. You're not surprised, you say. That's been going on across the country. But in this particular protest, and it's on YouTube, you can watch the video. You don't even have to read about it. You can just watch them marching through the streets of Charlotte, North Carolina, and they're shouting over and over and over again, F your Jesus, F your Jesus. And they're not saying F. I'm just sanitizing it because I probably would get shut down on radio if I actually quoted them. F your Jesus, over and over again in the streets of Charlotte, North Carolina, hundreds of Black Lives Matter protesters. An organization that the Democratic Party is without apology and without exception marching lockstep with, okay? Thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people politicians and commoners alike, pastors and laymen alike across the nation are marching in solidarity with Black Lives Matter. And this is an organization that's marching in the streets of our nation shouting, F your Jesus, F your Jesus, F your Jesus. And this weekend, in the midst of this, on the heels of this, at the same time as this news, I'm having to deal with social media threads from conservative Christian millennials who say they just can't vote for Trump, that they have to vote for Biden-Harris because Orange Man bad. He's rude. His temperament is embarrassing. They just can't support the man. The evangelical church has lost its heart, mind, soul, and spine. What in the world is wrong with you? What you are essentially saying, the people that are posting stuff on Facebook and Twitter and putting out your blogs and your memes, saying you can't vote for Trump, you've got us, you know, you've been a Republican your whole life, you've always been pro-life, you still are pro-life, you're small government, you're pro-constitution, but you can't support Trump because he's just poisoned the political pool with his rhetoric. What you're essentially saying is that because Trump is rude and uncouth, you will vote for the legalization of infanticide and the celebration of sodomy. And yet you claim to be an evangelical believer, a Bible-believing Orthodox Christian, and you're telling me that you won't vote for Trump because he's a big meanie. He's a big meanie. So therefore, you're going to vote for the celebration of sodomy and the legalization of infanticide. Just to mention a couple things. You're saying that you think killing infants is on the same moral plane as being a big, bad, rude, mean person. My land people, think. Would you please just think? Huh. You want to know how I can vote for Trump? Here's how. I'm just going to give you some comparisons. Joe Biden supports killing babies. Yes, he does. Not just fetuses, babies. Because Kamala Harris and Joe Biden do not support the Born Alive Infant Protection Act. They don't even support protecting an infant after it's born as a result of a botched abortion. They are supporting killing babies. Donald Trump, he supports letting babies live. All right, Biden supports defunding the police. Trump supports the police. Biden believes in gun control. He doesn't believe in the Second Amendment. Trump believes in the Constitution, the Second Amendment, and your right to bear arms. Biden has said very little about the riots and the violence. He's aligned himself with Black Lives Matter in solidarity with them while they're marching in the streets shouting, F your Jesus. Trump believes in law and order. Biden believes in illegal immigration, basically no borders. Trump believes in immigration that's legal. Biden has told us, all of us, that he's going to raise our taxes. Trump has given you tax breaks. Biden believes in a weak military. Trump believes in a strong military. Biden believes in more regulation, overregulation. Donald Trump believes in small businesses. Biden believes that you should let anyone vote. Trump believes in voter ID. Biden is strongly in favor of a welfare state. Trump has supported the working class, blue-collar people and small businesses again. Biden has supported policies that lead to poverty. That's a proven fact. Before the COVID nonsense, we had the most vibrant economy in the history of the nation. And you know that all minority groups had the lowest degree of unemployment in the last 50 years, if not in recorded history. Biden believes in big government, Trump small government. Biden believes in suppression of speech, the cancel culture,
the intolerance, the trigger warnings, the microaggressions, the safe spaces. Donald Trump believes in free speech. Joe Biden believes in liberalism, progressivism, the arrogance of the elites, the oligarchs, the smart folks. Donald Trump believes in conservatism. He supports those of us who have common sense and believe in natural law and us stupid rubes that live in the flyover states, those of us that lack gray matter, the deplorables among us. Joe Biden leans towards socialism and communism. Donald Trump is strongly in favor of constitutionalism and capitalism. Joe Biden, where is he as a patriarch? I don't even know. A patriot, not a patriarch. Where is he as a patriot? I don't know. Cardboard cutout in his basement. I don't know. Donald Trump is clearly somebody, in spite of his rudeness, in spite of his temperament, in spite of his attitude, which I don't appreciate and I've criticized and I will continue to do so, as many criticized the temperament and the rudeness of Winston Churchill. But you're telling me that because Winston Churchill was a rude, mean-spirited, ill-tempered man who said things that were crude and crass and off-putting, you're telling me that you would have rather had Chamberlain, who believed in appeasement and working it out with Hitler? Well, let's just get along with the man. Peace in our time. Versus Churchill, who recognized evil when he saw it and did something about it, crass though he may have been. How can I vote for Donald Trump? That's how I can vote for Donald Trump. My land, how could you do anything other than that if you actually have a head on your shoulders and a soul in your chest? How can you possibly tell me that you're going to vote for a party that believes in infanticide and celebrates sodomy and tells women they're not even objective facts and takes away their bathrooms and their showers and their scholarships and their dignity and their very identity? How can you possibly vote for a party that's waving the banner of socialism and condemning capitalism? How can you possibly vote for a party that's marching in solidarity with Black Lives Matter while they're screaming in the streets of Charlotte, North Carolina over the weekend, F your Jesus? Don't you dare tell me that you're a Bible-believing, conservative, pro-life Christian, but you just can't vote for Trump. You got to vote for Biden and Harris because you've got a conscience. What a crock. That's nonsense. That's thoughtless, spineless. It's an unprincipled position. Let's take a break and acknowledge our sponsors. And when I get back, I'll deal with some of the other news. And then I'm going to deal with my column that was in the Washington Times this past week, which deals with the question that we covered a little bit in last week's episodes of The Rebellion. And that is America real or is it just a feeling? I'm Dr. Everett Piper, and this is The Rebellion. Welcome back to The Rebellion. Okay. Let's deal with another news story. So while we've got Black Lives Matter shouting F your Jesus in the streets of Charlotte, North Carolina, here's a headline that came out. Hundreds of faith leaders endorse Biden to restore the soul of the United States. The story reads as follows. A coalition of more than 350 faith leaders endorsed Joe Biden for president this past week, citing a need for moral clarity to restore the soul of this nation. Gee, my land. Oh, it's painful to even go further, but I need to just to give you a little bit more on the context of the story. Faith 2020 is an organization that's raising awareness, mobilizing faith-rooted voters to get out the vote, doing our part to restore the soul of the nation, said the group on its website. We're a group of progressives and independents and conservatives. No, you're not. No conservative, no true conservative, no orthodox Christian, no Bible-believing conservative, no constitutional conservative, no conservative, nobody that understands the definition of conserving the time-tested truths of God could possibly align with an organization that's endorsing Joe Biden and Kamala Harris for the leadership of this country and all that they represent. all that they represent. So don't tell me, faith leaders, that you're restoring the moral clarity. This is muddy, messy syncretism at best. So my view is that these faith leaders need to decide what faith it is that they're leading. I would argue that one that stands in alliance with a party that boos God at its conventions and celebrates sodomy and promotes infanticide and stands in solidarity with an organization that is chanting F your Jesus is, dare I say, not a Christian faith. Ugh, I can't stomach any more of that story. So let's go on to another one. Story number three in the news. The survey shows 30% of professing Christians don't believe that Jesus was God. What? Okay, here's the story. The biannual Legionnaires Ministry State of Theology Survey addresses the most basic points upon which all Bible believers should agree. The survey, conducted every 2 years by Lifeway, offers respondents such simple questions with which to agree or disagree as God is a perfect being and cannot make mistakes, or the Bible is 100% accurate in all that it teaches. The data, however, has shown that even the most fundamental teachings of Scripture are murky at best and wrong at worst to many, many self-identifying Christians. Keyword, identifying. Kind of like identifying as a woman when you're a biological man. You're fraudulent in your claim of being something you're not. Dear self-identifying Christians that say that Jesus was not divine, you're not a Christian. Sorry to break the news. Anyway, back to the story. Perhaps the most startling statistic is the sheer volume of evangelicals and Americans in general who believe that Jesus was a good teacher but was not God, quote unquote. Well, then he was a raving lunatic and a liar because he repeatedly claimed to be God. He said he could forgive sins, my goodness. He said he would die and rise from the grave. He said that he would judge all humanity in the last days. He claimed to be the great I am. According to Christian headlines, a report from September 8th released this survey's results shows that 30% of professing evangelicals agreed with the statement that Jesus is not God. My response? Well, maybe this explains why these same Christians are now marching in solidarity with an organization that is chanting, F your Jesus. There might be a correlation here, you think? And by the way, before I get off of this story, the Bible is pretty clear on who Jesus is, on his divinity. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John 8:58 says, "Very truly I say to you," this is Jesus speaking, by the way, "very truly I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." And you know what the people listening to him did when he said that? They picked up stones and tried to kill him because they accused him of blasphemy. They knew. They understood exactly what he just said. He was the great I am, the eternal God. He was before Abraham. Before Abraham was born, I am, said Jesus. Romans 9:5 says, "Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen." Paul just said in the Epistle of Romans, the Messiah, who is God over all. Who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. Pretty clear, isn't it? Another Bible verse, Hebrews 1:1-4. A little bit longer, but listen to this one. "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe." The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. This is a clear description of the Trinity, folks. One God, triune, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all God. The Son in his radiance of God's glory is the exact representation of his being. And through the Son, by the Son, all things were made in the universe. Pretty clear. Folks, hate to break the news to you, but if you claim to be a Christian, you gotta check the box that Jesus is God. And if you don't, you might want to stop identifying as something that you're not. Okay, let's go to my column for the week. A little bit different angle, but I want to double down on some things we talked about last week. So, is America just an idea, or is America something bigger and better than an idea? Republicans know that America is real, while Democrats see it as a subjective idea. The 2020 Democratic Party platform starts with these four words: America is an idea. And therein lies the problem. The first few words set the context for everything that's wrong with the 80 pages of that platform that follow. The words America is an idea shine a spotlight on the radical difference between our nation's two dominant political parties. They highlight the primary distinction between the progressive and the conservative agenda. And when you cut through all the smoke and mirrors and all the pandering and all the false promises and all the fake people, this one simple phrase from the Democratic platform, I think, summarizes it all. Now, a lot of you might at first blush rightfully respond, at least understandably respond, and say, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with saying America is an idea? Well, here's the problem. It's not. It's not. Since our founding, our country has been much more than just an abstract thought or feeling. Our nation has never been a mere emotion or a desire. America is not just an idea. America is real. America is a real country with a real declaration and a real constitution with real values and real precepts. This is a real nation with real citizens and real borders and real laws. We are a real people with real rights and real responsibilities. We believe that life is real and that all human beings should have real liberty and real happiness. We stand for real justice. We believe in real morality. We have witnessed real virtue, and we've also seen real sin. We don't ignore our real enemies or pretend there are no real threats. We have a real army and a real navy and a real air force and real marines and a real coast guard for real reasons. We believe in a real economy, real money, real history, real science, and real truth. We know there's a real God, and that removing him from our pledge, which is real, will have real consequences. So in a nutshell, conservatives know that America is an objective reality, while Democrats just told us they believe our country is little more than a subjective idea. Their idea. Now, last week, we talked about this. 300 years ago, Edmund Burke wrote, "We are on the verge of darkness. One push drives us in." He was referring to the rise of the Jacobins in France and their elevation of what? What? Abstract ideas over reality. Sound familiar? Burke saw the dangers of replacing the facts of human experience with the subjective theories of Enlightenment arrogance. He knew that history, real history, had proven over and over again that when any people rise up and kill their traditions, that tyranny stands in the wings, all too willing to rush in and fill the vacuum. Burke predicted the rise of the rule of the gang and the butchery of the guillotine. He warned that the fluid ideas of Diderot and Rousseau would result in blood flowing in the streets. Burke stood with Aristotle before him and Chesterton and Voegelin that we talked about last week to follow. He stood with them in declaring that politics must be rooted in the firmness of natural law and self-evident truths that are endowed to us by our Creator. The laws of nature and nature's God. He knew that the worst error progressives make is uprooting and destroying the old realities in their lust for their new ideas. Burke warned of radicals and their ideas, people who believed that they were the smart ones, the intelligent few. He called these pretenders the leaders of the legislative clubs and the coffee houses who were intoxicated with admirations of their own wisdom, unquote. Burke foresaw the stuff like defunding the police and the destruction of private businesses, the destruction of statues, the defamation of the church. He warned of those that discredit all who come before them, who retell history and paint a nation's patriarchs as a source of evil. He said that they are, in fact, these people doing this are, in fact, the evil ones. In essence, Burke was a prophet. He warned of a time to come when feelings would trump facts. And by the way, Burke also quoted Cicero, "Tell me, how did you lose a republic as great as yours so quickly?" You know what? I'm thankful that Jefferson and Washington and Franklin and Adams listened to Burke. So should you be. If we buy the Democratic Party line that America is simply a progressive idea rather than a nation with enduring and objective definition, this is a question. The question of Cicero, "Tell me how you lost a republic as great as yours so quickly." This is a question our children and grandchildren are going to be asking us for years to come. Folks, no, America is not just an idea. America is much more. America is real. I'm Dr. Everett Piper, and this is The Rebellion.